Well, what a beautiful day, right? To have church here in the park. I think we are blessed to have this park in the city of Dallas, right? I mean, I love it. It's one of the places that I come as I, Tuesday mornings, I generally get ready to start laying out my message for the week. And before I do, I often go just spend some time with the Lord walking. I've done Basket Slough, but this has actually kind of become one of my regular walkthroughs through the Arboretum and through here, just kind of clearing my mind to hear the Lord. And so I just love that we have this beautiful park here in Dallas. It's just a great place to gather, hear the word of the Lord, to worship together, but also just to go on walks where we can experience God in those times. And so I love that we're here and a part of this this park. If you have your Bibles this morning, though, you can open them to John chapter 4. If you've been with us, you know that we've been in this long series titled The Bible, A True Story, taking us from Genesis through the Bible. And over the last several weeks, we found ourselves in Hebrews, and Hebrews 11, to be exact. And if you're not familiar with Hebrews 11, the author takes some time to talk about many of the men and women of faith, really throughout the Old Testament. And because of this, because of the time the author takes here, we've kind of found ourselves in what I've called a little series within a series titled Faith Is dot, dot, dot. In this series, we've been looking at the dot, dot, dot. We've been looking at the many aspects of what faith is, what faith can look like in our lives, what it looked like in these amazing men and women of God. But today, the Lord has actually led me in a different direction. As I was praying just about what He would have me share this week as we gather together out here in the park, He actually led me to John chapter 4. And the funny thing is, as I started going through John chapter 4, I realized one of my points we'll actually look at today is it deals with the fact of looking at what faith is not, right? Which I thought was kind of funny. As we've been in this series, Faith Is, we're going to look a little bit later at what faith is not. We'll get to that shortly, but let's start just by reading John chapter 4. Verses 46 through 53. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me as we read. This is what it says, beginning in John 46. Once more, and it's speaking of Jesus here, He visited Cana in Galilee, where He had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus replied, "You may go. Your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that the boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and all his household believed. And we're going to stop there this morning. Great story of healing, great story of seeing how Jesus moves in people's lives. And we see here that the main character in this story is this high official that comes to Jesus looking for a miracle, right? For his dying son. And when all is said and done, his son is healed, right? And his whole household get saved, meaning his servants and workers as well. They all become believers. Now, there are so many things that we can learn from this entire story, but I really want to just focus on the royal official here this morning, because I believe it's because of him, it's because of this loving father that this boy was healed. And it's because of him that this whole household became believers. And so I think that there are some lessons here that we can learn from this man and really how he responded in the midst of this encounter with Jesus. And that's what I really want to talk about this morning. And so the first thing that I think that we can learn from this man is this. Number one, and you may have to write this down. I don't have a screen to put that up on this morning, okay? One of these days you're going to just be able to project it right into the air. But until then, point number one, I want to learn about this from this man. I want to learn about the importance of humility. The importance of humility. One of the things we have to realize about the time in which this story took place was the fact that a person's social status, really, that was everything. And you see, someone of royalty, like this man, did not hang out with commoners. People of royalty hung out with other people of royalty. And commoners hung out with other commoners. They did not mix and mingle. And so we read here that this man, he was a royal official, right? And one of the commentaries that I actually looked at referred to him as a petty king. A petty king, which would most likely mean that he ruled over some province in the area. And so here, this petty king, this royal official, travels somewhere around 20 miles to seek the help from Jesus. And in case you didn't know, Jesus actually was considered a commoner. He was born to commoners. He was the son of a carpenter. And according to these times, he would not have ranked very high when it comes to social status. The royal official would have been up here, and Jesus would have technically been down here in the social status of these times. And so this reality raises the question, what would people think of this royal official coming, traveling all this way for help? And I think the royal official, he had to kind of swallow his pride to travel all this way to seek the help of Jesus. And I think if we want to be people who receive the help that we can all receive from Jesus, we have to be humble enough to swallow our pride, to come to him and to not worry about what other people think. The problem is all too often we let our pride get in the way of what God wants to do in our lives. And too often we let what others think dictate our decisions, and it can keep us from really doing what God is calling us to do. And the reality is, pride can be a very dangerous thing. I think we're seeing that in our world today, right? Let me share a little illustration with you. In the summer of 1986, two ships collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. Hundreds of passengers died as they were hurled into the icy waters below. News of the disaster was further darkened when an investigation revealed the cause of the accident. It wasn't a technology problem or a malfunctioning radar. It wasn't even thick fog or hazardous conditions. The cause of the accident was human pride. Each captain was aware of the other ship's presence nearby. Both could have steered clear, but according to news reports, neither captain wanted to give way to the other. Each was too proud to be the first one to yield. And by the time they actually came to their senses, it was too late. Pride killed how many people on this thing? 1 Peter 5:5 tells us this. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We need to hear that again, right? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We can't let pride keep us from doing what is right. Like this royal official, we have to learn to be people who walk in humility. And then the second thing I think that we can learn from this man here, this royal official, is this. The importance of perseverance, of persevering. Right after the man asked Jesus to heal his son, Jesus replies with these words. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. Now think about this. He comes for healing. He hears these words from Jesus. How easy would it have been for him to really take these words as a rebuke, right? How easy would it have been for him to get discouraged and be like, this commoner's talking bad, I'm out of here, right? And just walk away. But he didn't. He knew he didn't walk 20 miles for nothing. He knew this wasn't about seeing some signs and wonders. He didn't care about all that stuff. This was about a father's love for his son, right? It was about seeing his son survive. And so he wasn't going to give up that easily. And so again, he implores the Lord to come and to heal his boy. Now, the interesting thing here is that most likely the Lord was talking to the crowd that had gathered when he said those words. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. He was most likely talking to the crowd there, not necessarily to the royal official. But I wonder if Jesus wasn't also testing this man a little bit to see how he was going to respond to this comment. Would he stand strong and persevere, or would he get discouraged and walk away? You see, I think sometimes the Lord does the same thing with us. We don't like it, right? But sometimes he does the same thing with us. He allows situations and challenges to come our way to test us, to challenge us, to see if we're willing to persevere, to see how much we truly want it, right? To see if we're willing to push through those situations, or are we going to just give up and walk? Oh, well, God must have closed that door. I'm going the other direction, right? Are we going to push through, or are we going to give up? What if this official would have been discouraged here and thought, oh, man, and just walked away? How often do we do that? How often do we get discouraged and give up and maybe miss out on what God wants to do in and through our lives? The fact is, we're going to be challenged. We're going to be tested, and we have to persevere. Let me share a little illustration with you. Winston Churchill, Britain's great hero and prime minister during World War II, was asked to give a commencement address at Oxford University one year. Churchill, he was a leader that was admired and loved by the people. He had led Great Britain through a time of defeat, despair, and great loss, but had continued to provide inspiration exactly when it was needed. You can imagine the anticipation of the students, the faculty, right, the family members, as Winston Churchill made his way up to the podium to speak. Dressed in coattails, he carefully removed his gloves and top hat to deliver these words: never give up. Never, never give up. He then put on his hat and his gloves and returned to his seat. This is perhaps the shortest speech on record, but also one of the most remembered speeches at Oxford University and really around the world. It was a message of hope and of encouragement. And I think sometimes this is the simple message many of us need to hear, right? Sometimes we just need to be reminded to never give up. Never, never give up. That we need to just push on and persevere as we trust in the Lord. God's desire for us as we face challenges and difficulties is for us to push through, not in our own strength, but in His strength, to push through, to persevere. This royal official, he wasn't fazed by the challenge here of what Jesus said, and he perseveres through, and he continues to seek healing for his boy. And I believe it's because of his response, because of his perseverance, that Jesus actually heals his boy. And so we see here the importance of humility. We see the importance of perseverance. And then we also see the third thing this morning. We see the importance of faith, having faith in the Lord. Verse 50, Jesus replied, "You may go, your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. He took Jesus at his words. In other words, he had faith in Jesus and what Jesus said. He didn't say, well, no, you need to come with me. You need to make sure, right? Or he didn't say, well, are you sure he's actually healed? How do I know he's healed? Maybe I need to wait until I hear before I leave, right? He didn't do any of that stuff. It says in faith, he left. He began heading back home, trusting that God had done what he said he was going to do, right? He responded exactly opposite to what Jesus had said earlier, is that he was speaking to the crowd. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe, right? He hadn't seen it yet, but he believed. It's one thing to believe something once you've seen it with your own eyes, right? You know, you see, oh, now I believe, right? But it's another thing to have faith that something is going to happen when you haven't yet seen it, right? We struggle with that as humans. The Lord actually talks about this in John 20:29. You may remember the scripture when Thomas, right, doubted that it was really Jesus that came to the disciples. And so when Jesus showed up, he asked to put his hands and fingers in the nail holes and to touch his side. And you may remember the response of Jesus in John 20:29. This is what he said. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You see, faith is not seen, right? So much of the Christian walk is based on faith, based on things that we have not yet seen. That's why we refer to it as faith. It's having faith that God is in control. It's trusting in His will and His way for our lives. It's trusting that He knows better than us. We are called to be people of faith who trust in Him and trust in His Word and the things that He speaks to us. There's an old story, I know I've shared this before years ago, but there's an old story about a young man who was mountain climbing. But about halfway up, his rope gave way and he started to fall. Thinking quickly, he managed to grab hold of a branch sticking out of the side of the hill. He clung to it as he looked down and saw that it was a long way to the bottom. He then looked up and saw that it was even farther to the top. So it was at this point that he didn't know what to do. He decided to pray, right? And he didn't pray a long, wordy prayer. Instead, he simply yelled out, "God, if you are there, help me." Almost immediately, he heard a voice from the sky say, "I'm here, my son. Have no fear." The young man was a little startled at first, and he kind of cried out sheepishly, is that you, God?" "Yes, it's me," he replied. Well, can you help me?" asked the young man. God replied, "Yes, I can help you, but you have to have faith. Do you trust me?" The young man immediately answered, "Yes, I trust you, I trust you. Just help, get me down from here." Then God replied, "Okay, let go of the branch and I'll catch you. Have faith in me and everything will be all right." The young man looked down at the rocks below. He then looked up at the steep cliff above. He thought about it for a minute and then he yelled, "Is there anybody else up there that can help?" Many of us would probably respond in the same way, right? You see, it's one thing to say that we believe. It's another thing to actually live it out, right? To show it, to do it. We're called to be people of faith, to walk in faith, to live by faith. This was a man of faith. And I believe it was because of his humility, because of his perseverance, and because of his faith that Jesus healed his boy. And when we learn to walk in humility, when we learn to persevere and push through the tests and the challenges that we face in this world, and when we learn to walk in faith, I believe we too will see the works of the Lord in our life. We'll see miracles happen around us. And it won't be that we believe because we've seen, but that because we believe, we'll see, right? Let me say that again. Listen to that closely, right? And hear what I'm saying. It won't be that we believe because we've seen, but that because we believe, we will see the miracles happen. happen in our life, in our church, in our community. Because sometimes it's our faith that actually brings about those miracles as we trust in Him and walk in His timing and in His way to see them happen. This man, this royal official, walked in humility. He persevered. He walked in faith. And the final thing that I think we can learn from this man is this, that the importance of a transformed life. The importance of a transformed life. This man's life was transformed by Jesus, right? So much so that it became contagious. He became contagious, right? I love that John gives us some deeper insight to this encounter. Because at the end of verse 53, it says, "So he and all his household believed." Right? That this man had seen what Jesus could do. He had experienced his love and grace. And now he was living in a way that not only changed his own life, right? But it changed the life of his family. It changed the life of others. That this is what the Christian life is all about. This is what we're called to do. It's about living in such a way that others are drawn to us. Did you know this? Christians are supposed to draw people to Jesus, not repel them. Happens a lot in our world, Christians that repel people away from Jesus. We're called to draw people to Him. It's not about condemning and pushing people away. It's not about forcing people to believe exactly the way we believe. It's about loving them unconditionally so that they will see who Jesus really is. This is the mission that God has given us at Dallas Foursquare Church. A mission to love God and to love people to extend His kingdom. That is our mission statement if you weren't aware of that. We are called to love God and love people to extend His kingdom. We're called to love God. And when we learn to do that in the way that He's called us to, our lives are transformed by Him, by His love, as He shows us that love back. And that transformation then allows us to love others, and not with a worldly, wishy-washy kind of love, right? Not like that kind of love like I love my ducks, or I love chocolate, or I love whatever, right? And we're not talking about that kind of love, but a godly, unconditional kind of love. And as we love others in this way, the truth is that they're drawn into His love and drawn into His kingdom. And so His kingdom is extended through us. This story in John is an amazing story of this royal official who encountered Jesus. And there is so much that we can learn from him. The importance of humility in our lives. The importance of perseverance, pushing through. The importance of faith, right? And not the kind of faith just by seeing, but believing before we see. And the importance of being a transformed life. Because all of these things have the ability to draw others to Jesus and to extend His kingdom, which is the mission He's given us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You again for just this beautiful day here in the park as we gather to hang out with one another, to worship You, to hear Your word, to eat and fellowship together. And Lord, we just pray that You would allow us to receive the word that You had for us today here. Whatever it is, Lord, if maybe we need to work on humility, maybe we need to work on perseverance, maybe we need to work on faith, maybe we just need to seek to be more and more transformed by You. Whatever it is You want to speak to each of us this morning, may we receive what You have for us. May we have ears open, hearts open to receive what You are calling us into, Lord, to live the lives that You have called us to live, Lord. And so, Lord, we want to give You this word. May it meet each of us where we're at. Thank You for this day. Thank You for just this time together. Bless our fellowship. Bless as we eat together and connect with one another, Lord. May You be lifted up and encouraged in it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.